The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee. And thanks to all of our listeners this morning for tuning in. We're live and local this morning in the WTBR studio. And we got a great show coming up for you. Very important show in a lot of ways. We're going to talk about the Stop Youth Drowning program. That's a new program that was just created this year. And we're going to talk to the founders and instructors in that program, talk about the reasons the program was put in place and what they hope to accomplish from it. I think it's going to be a really great conversation and an important one, too, because I don't think that we talk about this topic enough. And of course, we do. We have had tragedies here in our community, and we'll talk about how to prevent those in the future. First, let's get to the weather forecast and see what we have on tap for today from the National Weather Service. Here we go.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Flood watch in effect from late tonight through Saturday morning. Today, mostly cloudy. A chance of showers this afternoon. Highs in the mid-60s. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain 30%. Tonight, rain likely in the evening, then rain after midnight. Lows in the upper 40s. Northeast wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain 90%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Yeah, and I was hearing this weekend, at least Friday into maybe early Saturday, we're looking at some pretty heavy rain on the matter of inches. Maybe 1, 2, 3 inches of rain coming down in a kind of a rapid function. So, yeah, keep an eye out for that. We've seen quite a bit of rain in the last week, and we're hoping to maybe get that rain finished up a little bit. And we always like rain. There's nothing wrong with rain, but we've got to, you know, at some point get some spring in here also. All right. Welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM. And I have with me here in the studio this morning my guest, Linda Dooley. She is the president and founder of the Dooley Leadership Experience. We also have Marilyn Hickey and Rachel Seckler. They're volunteer swim instructors. And we want to say good morning and welcome to all three of you. Thanks for being here this morning.
We're keeping with the water theme with the rain, by the way, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have much choice on the rain, unfortunately.
Thank you for having us, Sean, by the way.
Absolutely.
Important conversation.
Yeah. And so let's talk about this. So the title of the program, of the initiative, is the Stop Youth Drowning Safe Swim Berkshire Initiative, right?
That's right.
So, Linda, maybe you could set the stage for us on this a little bit. What was the impetus to put a program like this in place for our area?
Well, the impetus was a tragedy. And the tragedy occurred last summer. I know it's very vivid in our memories, but I think a lot of this community remembers the drowning of a young girl, a middle school student, who was on a school trip with 30 some other fellow classmates, and she drowned. Mm. And for me, there was a very personal connection in that this young girl, her name's Giver, was a member of my St. Mark Parish community. Mm-hmm. We have a very strong, vibrant African Catholic community, mm-hmm. and she was part of our community, so it rocked our parish. Mm-hmm. It rocked mm-hmm. our community, and it really, it just affected me in a way that I became very impatient as a spectator to a tragedy. Mm-hmm. I remember the funeral. I remember just the chasm inside, the emotional chasm, and mm-hmm. saying, something has to be done about this. No young person in our community, nobody, no, it doesn't really matter, young person, right. older person, a drowning is a tragedy. But this young girl who was fairly new to our community in America drowned, and we need to do something to stop youth drowning. So that was a trigger point. what helped me is just contacting different people in the community who I thought had a passion and would understand the mission. And indeed, I found that connection with a woman by the name of Jessica Rumlow. At the time, she was executive director of the Berkshire Family Y. She and I are buds, close friends. And through Jessica, I met an amazing woman who is everybody knows Coach Jennifer Roccabruna, who is a phys ed teacher at Herberg Middle School, also was on that class trip and a very close mentor for Giver. And through this bond created with Jen and really understanding there was a lot of passion, the seed was planted to start a program, which we started vetting this last winter, November, December, and put together a planning team between Girls Inc., the Y, and Pittsfield Public Schools. And you need to have that collaboration. And we just started our team, our mighty team of planning. Our planners really met every month, really starting in January, building, curating what was going to happen from 1 week pilot program to help stop youth drowning.
So what was the problem that you identified with this initiative? So obviously we know what was the spark to put it into place.
Yeah.
But when you dug into it a little bit, what did you find? Did you find that there were a lot of people of various ages, but especially youth that were not learning how to swim or did not know how to swim adequately to be in some situations like that?
Absolutely. And that was a connection with understanding through the Y and also with the Gladys Allen Brigham Center. And that is the volatile age, the real critical age to tap is middle school.
Why is that, do you think?
A lot of peer pressure, and Marilyn and Rachel can chime in on this because they had the one-on-one with these youths. But they're at an age where the peer pressure is strong. They don't want to admit they haven't had the skills. They don't want to admit they don't know how. They want to go on the outings, like the class outing to a lake. There's a very good example.
Of course.
And also, just the comprehension level and the need. This is where we can develop youth development, leadership skills on the water, in the water, and outside of the water, I think is really vibrant and it sticks. So I didn't realize that was the most critical age and learned that very quickly through the program. And the other thing is, I think we need to talk about, Giver as the impetus, but we also live in a community with free waterways. We have lakes with beaches, and they're free. We have an amazing river and other waterfronts. People love to kayak. Measure them roof racks here, right? There's a roof rack everywhere. It's like Colorado. So we are, as a community, really drawn to water here. And I think we aren't understanding how many people who may be sitting on those beaches or even in a kayak or on a pleasure boat don't know how to swim.
Yeah. And let's talk to Marilyn and Rachel for a second with some of your experiences with instructing youth of this age. What kinds of things have you seen? What experiences do these kids come in to you with? Are they really starting from scratch? Do they know a little bit something about swimming and safety and things? Where do you have to start to get that instruction moving?
I was pretty impressed with the wide range. I think that sometimes you've got my particular student had never been in a lake, never been in a pool. He had been in an ocean, dipped his feet in the ocean several times. He was here from a different country. And I did see with it, we were all matched up. It was a one-on-one. You really spent some time figuring out where their skill set was. My particular student really was starting from ground zero. He had, he was unable initially to put his face in the water. He wasn't afraid of the water. He did have a good sense of athleticism. And I was a little kind of anxious because sometimes I think it's not having a fear of the unknown. Sometimes it's how hard can this be?
Yeah.
So
is the athleticism important or is it something that anyone can pick up and learn?
I think the wonderful thing about this program is it really helped us start right from the beginning as far as when kids got in the water. And it just built on skills that we developed over the program. So anyone would be able to. And I am able, I also teach adult, learn to swim. And many of these skills, it's able to go from one program to the next.
So, and one of the things that, so each of these young people, and the age range was, I think our youngest might have been 11 up to 14.
They were,
and I want to use the word curated. So Coach Jen Roccabruna, our rock star, she knows everyone. She knows, she personally went to families where she knew there was an at-risk youth.
Okay.
This is someone who has no introduction to the water, to some who maybe, as Marilyn said, maybe had touched the water at one time in their lives. But she, you have to build confidence in the families, because for most of these youths, that parent also doesn't know how to swim. So you have to trust us. You're gonna, we're gonna take your child. We're actually gonna transport them. We provided transportation, and we're going to put them in a situation that the adult doesn't understand because they haven't been exposed to this. So there's a lot of trust that has to happen before we even show them what a pool is. And the dynamics of a pool, we didn't put the youth in the our youths in the water until they understood that a pool was not a straight surface, that there actually was a dip. Marilyn and Rachel had explained,
as in there's a shallow end and a deep end.
And it feels different than the tile that you walk on when you go into the pool area. Day one was really water orientation to what is a pool.
So right at the very basics.
Yes.
And do you think, what are some of the reasons that people, as they grow up and mature, don't get those essential lessons in swimming and water safety? Is it, you mentioned familial issues where maybe the parents or grandparents weren't familiar or be able to swim in the water. Is there a fear factor? Are there other things that lead to that? Maybe, Rachel, you could tell us some of that you think that you've seen in some of the students or other people you've instructed.
Well, I think if you don't get the lessons young, like the baby lessons, toddler lessons, that kind of goes away. There hasn't really been another offering for this age around here. And then at that point, you're in middle school, you don't want to be othered. And I mean, nobody does.
Right.
But it just, to have that skill, you need experienced swimmers or experienced teachers to help you. And they haven't really been available. And there's things that you learn in the water that, like we talked about, if you're in open water looking for, you know, okay, that's the lifeguard chair. Every time I turn around, I'm going to make sure I know where that lifeguard chair is. Orientation stuff, things that you wouldn't necessarily think of just happen in the water as a kid. And some of the, we had kids who were scared. We had kids who needed instruction on how to get into the water, how to use the ladder, how to use the stairs.
Or how to get out of the water.
How to get out of the water, just as important.
Yeah.
And we had kids like mine was so enthusiastic, and he was confident, but he didn't really know how to do a lot. And I think that's a big deal in that age group, too, is how many times have you been on your bike as a kid and said, I can jump that. You can't jump that. You know.
Yeah.
So that was an
important. One way to find out.
Yes. So I think just not having that experience, there's just a gap. There isn't really a, whether it's financial or you're doing other things, there's no time. Baseball, it's this other school sports kind of take over.
Yeah, kids' schedules are just tremendously stretched these days, and maybe more than what we remember.
And
yes. You know.
And Marilyn alluded to it. There are cultural dynamics. We had many of our students were from another country who had come to the United States. And in these cultures, swimming is just not a paramount part of daily life.
Interesting. Yeah.
And so overcoming cultural dynamics as well as access to lessons or a family member who, you know, did the sport, you know, contrast basketball or baseball, you know, but swimming is not as popular. So we had to also respect the cultural innuendos that I'm an American. That isn't natural for me to understand.
Right. We feel like it's built in, basically,
correct.
Right? And
right.
And I think there are great assumptions that you just expect people, most people that you encounter, to have a basic knowledge of swimming, right?
Yeah,
of being
right.
able to at least be safe in water and keep yourself afloat if you needed to, you know, the kind of the things. And that just, that baseline doesn't exist there. You had some statistics, Linda, about how many people generally can swim or have that knowledge already. What are some of those statistics?
Well, I think we saw in our youth, I mean, the amount of students with knowledge and skills is a minority.
Mm.
Is a minority. And I'm going to say that for adults. My mother mm-hmm. and my grandmother were terrified of the water, hmm. but they made sure that my brother and I, as infants, mm-hmm. went to the Y, as young, you know, 5, 3, whatever, went and learned to swim. But my mother didn't learn how to swim till she was 65 years old.
Oh, wow.
And because I insisted.
Yeah.
And yet, family vacations involved water. Mm-hmm. We went to places with beaches. Mm. I always went to the pool. I make sure we stay at a hotel with a pool. That's the great babysitter, right? So I look at that, and I would say that is the majority, not the minority, in our community in America at large. And, I mean, as far as beyond America, I can't give you those stats. But we take for granted, because we have backyard pools, and we go to hotels with pools, that people know how to use this stuff. That's not true.
And Linda, you just brought up another good thing, that there isn't an age limit by when you have to learn how to swim or then you can't, right?
No.
You just mentioned your mother at 65. What was that experience like, that you remember her learning how to swim at that age?
Oh, yeah. And I'm not from the Berkshires. Mm. I grew up in the Lower Hudson Valley, but I'm a Y kid.
Yeah.
I'm a Y kid. I was a Y camper, CIT counselor. I believe so strongly in the progression of the lessons. And I had insisted growing up with my mom, please, and my grandmother. And my grandmother was from Italy, had an arranged marriage, came to America at 15. But it wasn't part of her culture. And my mother was raised no swimming at all. And I just insisted, it was peer pressure from her daughter that you're at a point. And by the way, this is really good.
Did she take it well?
Eventually. This is really good exercise. So from that standpoint, it's like the fountain of youth. This is a lifelong sport, and it's a full body sport. And I approached it from that angle.
Yeah.
With my mom. And she learned, she had moved eventually full time to live here in the Berkshires, and she learned at the Berkshire Family YMCA.
Great. We're talking about the Stop Youth Drowning Safe Swim Berkshire Initiative. And we have with us here, if you're just joining us, Linda Dooley. She's the president and founder of the Dooley Leadership Experience. We have Marilyn Hickey and Rachel Seckler, and they are both volunteer swim instructors. And so give us a little bit about what the tenets of the program, how people can get enrolled and involved and connected with this, and what you hope to gain out of it. How long does it take, for example?
Yeah, so this was a pilot, and I want to stress that. We didn't know how it was going to go, and obviously Rachel and Marilyn should share their perspective, because the growth just didn't happen in our youths. I know it was life-changing for me. 5 days changed my life in many ways. So we started with the concept of a pilot, when we needed to get the buy-in of the public schools, because we were going to personally, through Coach Jen, be approaching these families, and then getting two facilities. So the youth group, we had 21 selected youth, again, personally curated, sat with the parents, got the kids on board, and we divided them in two groups who went through the exact progression together, but in separate locations. And all of our instructors, our amazing volunteer instructors, got lesson plans to progress through the week. And they had to decide how that was going to go based on the youth that they were one-on-one paired with. So we had lesson plans, detailed lesson plans. We had transportation. We had food. Every child was outfitted with a backpack, goggles, a swim cap, bathing suit, towels. They had to teach, how do you put on goggles? How do you put on a bathing cap? And by the way, a bathing suit. Please don't think everyone owns a bathing suit. That is not true.
Well, if you don't swim a lot, or you don't have an expectation of swimming, you might not own a bathing suit.
And you may not be comfortable going to a facility with a bathing suit on, by the way, because culturally, some of the bathing suits we have are too open on bodies, and particularly for young girls, they wanted to cover their bodies more. Again,
and culturally, that might be different also, right?
That's what I'm saying. They were not American in their upbringing, and so that we had to make every availability in terms of what do you wear in the water.
I wouldn't have even thought of that. So,
of course.
Yeah.
And by the way, Rachel was talking about the lakes. There's a difference between dark water, which is a lake. You can't see the bottom of a lake, and a pool where you can see the bottom of the lake. Now, we just think of that naturally. That's a very big difference you have to teach a child. That water is not the same in a contained area, whether it's a lake or a pool.
I think of that, when I'm out in a kayak and I'm thinking, I wonder how deep this is. I look down and I could see maybe a couple inches, and then beyond that, it's just brown, you know. I don't know. Certainly, that's the way Anoda and Pontoosuc are. It can kind of freak you out a little bit. Marilyn and Rachel, tell me about what a typical lesson would be, a one-on-one with a student. What would that be? What kinds of things? Marilyn kind of talked about what you started with the base, but then once you sort of move up from there, what kinds of things are you looking to instruct?
We actually, with the lesson plan, it was initially, we all were presented with it. Someone got in the water, they demoed it. We were all teaching essentially the same thing with a big emphasis on water safety. And our goal really was to get kids comfortable in the water and really have an awareness about safety. And my particular student, I was able to get he got his face in the water, was very comfortable doing that.
So that's kind of the first thing, right?
Face down in the water, holding
your breath, things like that.
Being able to hold his breath.
Blow some bubbles.
Uh-huh. Really figuring out what their exchange.
Yeah.
And then we progressed from that. He was able to do a front float unassisted briefly.
So back, floating on your back.
We also really worked hard. He was able to do some back floating. But the big, big thing is whether you're front floating or back floating is teaching kids how to stand up from that position.
Okay.
It really, it's a very natural movement for any of us that swim. But if you don't swim and you are able to do a float, whether you're on your back or your front, it's really imperative that you learn how to stand up.
And so at this point, you're in the shallow end?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And again, every single day, emphasizing the safety skills. Is there a lifeguard on deck? How would you get help? So I think the safety skills, both in the lake and the pool, it was paramount that these kids really understand whether they never, ever, ever can swim alone. And with us emphasizing, if you're in a body of water with a buddy that also can't swim, that really is not a safe experience. So I think just working hard, they seem to all, and they had a, I think a camaraderie amongst them. They all were having a good time. There was a great sense of community between the collaboration with the Girls Club and the Y. But again, I feel your students seem, Rachel, a little bit more advanced. You were able to get them in the deep water.
Yes.
And what was that like for them? Was that their first experience in water where if they're in the water, they can't touch the bottom?
It was.
Yeah.
And we started at the very beginning of our skills, but we had a couple students who did blow right through them. They were able to get in the water. They were able to kind of bob, go under, and hop back up.
And that was with no experience having done that before, and they were fairly comfortable with it?
Yeah, I think he had a little bit of experience. We had a little questionnaire that we went through with them before we started, so we had some idea of where they were at. And we practiced the skills that we were going to teach on each other ahead of time, which was very helpful for me. I've never taught swimming before. So to know what it feels like to have someone guide you into a back float is, it's, I had no idea what that felt like. And we tried it a couple different ways. In fact, there was one where I was just meant to lean back until I felt somebody's hand. That 2 seconds where my friend, I knew she was right there, I was in the water where I could float, I got scared for just that second until I felt her hand. It was a very weird feeling. So to know how that might feel to different students was really important for me to start teaching. And we tried many different ways. My student floated on his back right away, was able to eventually do a doggy paddle.
Okay.
And he had siblings in the class as well, so that was fun because eventually they were, you know, on kickboards, racing, and eventually they did go into the deep end. In fact, I think he asked on the first day, when can we go into the deep end? And it was just amazing to see the trust in these students that you'll be safe, you can stand here, you can float, you'll be okay, and they just went with it. It was really...
And that varied.
Yes.
Because you saw in other ones who were still very, very reluctant. By the way, one other piece of equipment that our amazing volunteers had to help instruct on was a life preserver.
Yes.
That was very important day one instruction. Realize, again, that's a new item. People don't know what it is. How do you use it? And when do you use it? And it was required the first couple days. And then in many of them, the life preservers, once those life preservers came off, it was amazing. And they didn't come off for everybody, but that was okay.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, the most important thing that our amazing volunteers did is create a highly supportive, inclusive environment that this is learn as you go, not as we expect you to go, but as you go.
But it's just, it's a, an environment where they can feel safe in learning these skills also, right? That they're not just thrown into the deep end, for example, and, you know, figure it out for yourself. Where they know they can build each one of those skills that you described one by one by one. And then at when do you start being able to judge whether someone is making progress and then is maybe ready to be, you know, sort of on their own? How do you, what kinds of skills are you looking for to say, okay, that, that person's just about ready?
Treading water was a big one.
Treading water in the deep end?
Treading water even
anywhere.
In the shallow end.
Okay.
Back float was very important.
Yeah.
Recovery from the back float. But if they can tread water for even a full minute, I think that was a big
huge accomplishment.
Yeah. And that, you know, it takes some exertion also, right? It's not just sort of keeping yourself there, but now you're starting to feel tired. You're breathing heavy. You know, you're trying to keep yourself up for that minute. And then you imagine yourself trying to do that for a little longer because maybe you're in a situation where you have to do that, right? I mean, that's kind of what you're looking for there.
And that was one of the things that we said, you know, if you are stuck and you're getting tired and you're, you know, these are the couple of things that you can do, and this is what it might feel like when you start to get tired. You might not realize that swimming is a great sport, but it's one that will tire you out very quickly before you realize it.
Yeah.
So for them to have these couple of safety things that they have in their back pocket or the, you know, somewhere in their swimsuit is, I think, a big deal, and we really tried to emphasize that.
Well, it sounds like it's training like any other kind of training, right? Is that the more you do it and the more you imprint that on your memory circuits, on your brain, when you need it, that's when you call on that training, right?
Yes.
It's something that's there.
And there's another T. It's training and trust. That day one, and you heard Rachel mention and Marilyn, the sitting down with their paired now buddy, their swim buddy, and having conversation, okay, that's not with a headphone on. And I want to stress this because no headphones, no phones in hand.
Yeah.
Teaching conversational skills, again, this is youth development off the water too, was very important.
Yeah.
And you can't build trust if you don't have conversations. And they had to tell their swim partner, their youth swim partner, a little bit about themselves and maybe how they learned how to swim or something about them as a kid. And every day having conversation.
I was going to say overcoming the anxiety of the conversation might be just about as equal as overcoming the anxiety about swimming.
Well, day one, and we didn't really put the any pressure points on them, but day one watching youth coming in, our selected youth coming in, several, many, coming in with the hoodies on, okay, headphones,
sure,
hoodies,
yep, yep,
and really sort of in an isolation tank. And we needed to work through, by day two, those hoodies were off.
Mm.
And guess what? We don't need the headphones.
Mm.
We don't need that. It's not going to help us, yeah, learn how to swim, mm, at all. To nobody thought about it by day five. It was just not even a question.
Yeah. Because this experience is different than that kind of experience, right? When you're here for the hour, hour and a half, or whatever that you're doing, this is what's normal here.
Yeah.
Other things are normal other places, but that's normal here. We are actually going to take a quick break here because we've reached that top of,
wow,
the hour. I know, it goes by so fast.
It does, it does.
And we will thank our underwriters and give our station IDs and all the good stuff that we do in our break. And then we'll come back and talk again about the Stop Youth Drowning Safe Swim Berkshire Initiative. And we have our guests here, Linda Dooley, Marilyn Hickey, and Rachel Seckler. And thank you for being here. And we'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR, Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs. Pizza Pizza is back. Join PCTV and WTBR for the biggest and tastiest pizza event around, May 15th at Berkshire Hills Country Club on Benedict Road in Pittsfield. Enjoy pizza from Papa John's Pizza, Papa Joe's Restaurante, Zuko's Family Restaurant, and much more. And you get to decide who will win the People's Choice Award. Pizza Pizza at Berkshire Hills Country Club on May 15th. Tickets are $20 for adults and $10 for children 12 and under in advance. Get your tickets now at pittsfieldtv.org/pizza. Support for Pizza Pizza comes from Cohen, Kinney, Valicenti, and Cook.
Wonder what happened to those great local PCTV channels? Did you lose them? No worries, they're still there. Go to cable channels 1301, 1302, and 1303 to watch the best local content on television. News and information, sports and entertainment, city council, school committee, July 4th parade. It's all there waiting for you. Pittsfield Community Television. For over 30 years, we are still your local television.
Are you ready to volunteer? Does your organization need volunteers? Let Berkshire United Way be your guide. We can help you use your time and talent to serve people in our community. Visit volunteerberkshireuw.org or call us at 413-442-6948 to get started or learn more. Again, that's 413-442-6948.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Hey, I'm Kyle.
And I'm Riley.
Do you like 90s alternative?
Do you like 2000s emo?
Are you tired of the same old predictable radio?
Tune in to Zennial Yearbook on WTBR. We're playing the best alternative songs from the 90s and early 2000s.
We're playing Green Day, Foo Fighters,
Blink-182, Weezer, and more My Chemical Romance than is required by law.
So tune your Walkman to 89.7 FM WTBR. Saturdays at 2 p.m. for all this and more.
It's Zennial Yearbook!
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Yes, welcome back to Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM and also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee. Thanks to all of our listeners for joining us this morning. Again, Thursday, May 8th is the date, and we are talking today about the Stop Youth Drowning Initiative, and we'll get back to that conversation in just a moment. First, let's go to the weather forecast and see what we have in store. I think we're going to get kind of a short read on it here, but you kind of know what's coming after that. Here we go.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Flood watch in effect from late tonight through Saturday morning. Today, mostly cloudy. A chance of showers this afternoon. Highs in the mid-60s. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain 30%. Tonight, rain likely in the evening. Then rain after midnight. Lows in the upper 40s. Northeast wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain 90%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Rain 90%, you know it's going to rain. No doubt about that. So we're going to get a lot of rain, it sounds like, on Friday. We didn't even have that in the short forecast that we just heard. But yeah, definitely prepare for, I don't know about a deluge, but it's definitely going to be pretty strong, powerful rain for a while on Friday. All right, welcome back to the show again, Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR. And Linda Dooley, Marilyn Hickey, Rachel Seckler, thanks for being here this morning and talking about the Stop Youth Drowning Initiative.
Important.
Absolutely. So maybe, Linda, you can talk about how our volunteer swim instructors were selected and how they got involved, how this program sort of got its wheels turning, essentially.
So I mentioned about Coach Jen and curating our youth. Well, curating our amazing volunteer, because I am going to use that all the time, volunteer instructors, was equally important. And I want them to talk about their experience. But starting with that planning committee, and that involved Abby Allard at Gladys Allen, Kayla McNeese at the Y, Prashad Abasinja, who is the aquatics director at the Gladys Allen, and also Claire Langlois at the Pittsfield Y. Okay, that's our team,
right.
and myself and Jen. And we really relied on Prashad and Claire now to go find these mighty volunteers who are going to give their time. And it wasn't just an hour, by the way, because we started, Jen and I were doing transportation. We were picking kids up like at 9:30 and getting them at different places where they live, getting them to the different facilities, and these folks are there waiting, and they have to personally be waiting and getting them ready and getting them psyched.
Is this on weekends or during vacations? Or
perfectly timed, deliberately timed for spring break.
That's when
we did our pilot.
Great.
Because I can tell you, all of these children, if they weren't doing that, would have been hanging out. Because we asked them, what else would they have been doing? Just hanging. So their experience in having to say yes to not just volunteering time, but learning a lesson plan. And Rachel mentioned, I've never taught, you know, I mean, Marilyn's gifted in our master's instruction at the Y. But if you've never taught youth, that's a whole new ball game.
Yeah.
So providing their perspective on why did they want to do this and how did they learn how to do it is, I think, is a really good aspect of the program as well.
Yeah, so talk about that, Marilyn.
Well, I think all of us would be in agreement. We would do anything Claire asked of us.
Yes. That's the magnet.
She's the director of the water program.
Aquatics director.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, at the Y.
Her credentials are unbelievable. She was a member of the synchronized swim team.
No kidding.
The national swim team for the U.K.,
okay.
And a wonderful, wonderful swimmer. She's a mentor and an idol for all of us. But I feel like the skill sets are pretty high level. And she approached folks individually. She indicated to me she was looking for people that had a calm demeanor, a high level of patience.
Mm.
There was a program that was being piloted, and the important skill sets that we were going to be teaching, trying to have an impact preventing youth drowning, and the lesson plan, it was unbelievable. how things, everything was exquisitely planned.
Yeah, so, sounds like quite the structure.
Correct.
Right, to put all that together.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So essentially, we showed up, we did work with each other, and it was really, I did mention earlier, I felt we had, it was great meeting the folks from the Gladys Allen and getting involved.
Mm-hmm. Which I'll tell you, my kids also swam at the Brigham Center
nice.
As well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And they got way more into water and swimming than I ever did,
yeah.
Which was
awesome.
Great. And having the opportunity to do it, I will say, is very important, right? And so for these kids, it sounds like this might have been one of their first opportunities to have that exposure and to delve in and learn, you know, those techniques, those skills.
And you had to have that collaboration. I mean, mm-hmm. having both of these very vibrant, important sources, Gladys Allen and the Y, say I do, was essential, I think, also for the success. And this was a very successful program. Mm-hmm. We can talk about that later. But that was an important starting point,
yeah.
too.
Well, let's talk about what outcomes were you looking for, and as you analyzed what happened, what would you like to see continue after the pilot has completed?
Well, let Rachel and Marilyn talk about, I mean, their outcomes in as volunteers. Did this manifest as you had hoped? And then I'll talk about, you know, what we saw in the evaluations.
Yeah. Knowing who you had to work with and knowing what was the result at the end of the, was it 5 days?
Yes.
What kinds of results did you see?
Well, I didn't know what to expect going in because, excuse me, Claire let us know that we might have a student who, we might have people not even get in the water but end up learning about water safety, and that's a success.
Interesting. All right.
But as far as I know, everybody got in the water.
That's great.
And everybody learned some skills. Mm. My plan ended up mostly being almost reining my kid in as time went on because he was so enthusiastic and really wanted to learn, asked a lot of questions, which I thought was interesting too, because this age group, I said, are they just gonna, first they were very quiet, and as the week went on, they got much more talkative. And I think part of selecting us, I didn't realize, I said, what about all these young lifeguards that we have? They could, you know, they're only a couple years older than these kids. And it was pointed out to me that middle school kids don't have to feel like they need to be cool in front of me, so they can ask these questions and be a little more vulnerable. And I think that really helped in the end with my results, or I shouldn't say my result, my students' mm-hmm. results, because he went from not really knowing how to tread water or float to, he swam 25 meters.
Wow.
In fact, didn't realize he was doing it until we got done. And I said, you go home and you tell your parents you swam 25 meters. That's half Olympic. And he was just beaming. He was so proud. It was so neat to see. They were able to jump in, a lot of kids.
Oh, or dive.
Yeah. Or dive.
Yeah.
In fact, yeah, Christoph dove.
Yeah. That was massive.
Yeah, wow. I couldn't believe it. He wanted to. He said, can I try this? And the lifeguard said yes. I said yes, and he went for it. It was incredible.
Wow. That must have been kind of a shock to him, too, right? After he came back up from the dive, and I did it.
Yes,
right?
And he was like, wow, and he wanted to do it again.
That's great.
Yeah, we had Claire on day 5, and her mom came on day. Having the parents come is also wonderful and something I think we would want to have more of, so they can witness the development in their child. But Claire coming up to me and goes, will you get your camera? I'm going to dive. And at that, like, day 5, we started together on day 1 and we ended together on day 5. We were at the Y in the beginning and then day 5 at Gladys Allen. She walks briskly, doesn't run.
Because that's what you do in a pool, right? No running in the pool.
To the deep end with the diving board, the diving platform, and says, watch this. And I took the video. I have it on my phone. And this girl dove in the water that she didn't want to really necessarily go in on Monday.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And you can't not cry
yeah.
when this happens.
That's the result.
Because that confidence level was just exhilarating.
Yeah. You mentioned lifeguards, and I know that it's been in the newspapers for the last several years that the city and other places have had difficulty finding and paying lifeguards. They have to go through certification, et cetera. But, you know, that's a real change also from the last generation, isn't it? Where there just aren't as many people either interested in doing that job or qualified to do that. And maybe that's some of what we're talking about here today, that there aren't as many youth who are getting those experiences in the water to even get to that point.
And I feel like if you can develop a pool of swimmers that and I think a good example, one of the students is very interested. She wants to be a counselor in training. And from there, she potentially could become a counselor. Mm. And I feel possibly we'll be able to ramp up some of the kids' skill set that they potentially might be a lifeguard down the road.
That student, if we're thinking of the same person, she was a beginner.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Yeah. No kidding.
So that's, some of our beginners left being able to do a backfloat, and that's huge. Mm. That's a great improvement. But then you have other kids who, they really got into it, and which is exciting for me because swimming is one of the most inclusive sports. Once you can get in there and do it, everybody is welcome, and everybody is really warm.
Mm.
That's the leadership development progression. So on day five, there's a couple of things in leadership development that we wanted to infuse in here. All these youths had to write a thank you note to their instructor. Now, that's adults don't do this enough. Like,
I was going to say, it's kind of a lost skill, isn't
and
it,
it's at this handwritten, point?
Handwritten.
Right? Like, and we didn't go on AI and say, please write a thank you note
They're
for me.
Not required to be in cursive, though, right?
No. We can just. So we sat down and teaching them how to write a thank you note. Two of them were selected to meet on our closing ceremonies. We had the mayor, Pete Marchetti, there. We had Jim McGrath from Parks and Rec, and we had the superintendent of schools attending as well. And we had two of our youths greet them at the door and also address the entire group of volunteers and also their fellow colleagues or fellow students in the water with what did they learn? What was the experience for them? These girls were terrified. We happened to be two young girls, Jane and Claire. And they were terrified to do so. And I remember when I said, I'm going to select you two, and we're going to practice projection and speaking and standing posture.
And they're probably thinking, just get me back in the water.
Who are you? Why are you doing this to me, Linda? And Miss Linda, why are you doing this? And when they greeted Pete Marchetti and he came in, we're sitting down. These two girls were sitting in the front row next to him because I had positioned them. And they're holding each other's hand at the point where they had to go up and stand in front of the group. And they did it in a heartbeat. Hmm. And they were proud. And that's the progression, again, from skills in the water to confidence that translates out of the water, youth development, leadership development in these kids. And that's, you have to build that sort of harmony in any kind of program that you're going to do with youths.
Yeah. And it's not easy. It's not even easy for a lot of adults to do things like that.
Sure.
There are a lot of people that are intimidated to be in that situation, to stand up or to greet people or to, you know, they'd rather sort of sink back into the hedge. I think of that meme with the Homer Simpson, right?
Yes.
You know? But that's one of those things that is again, a built skill, right?
Something
that
skill.
is necessary to at least have in the toolbox, a tool in the toolbox.
Yeah. And there's actually two girls in the program who we really have introduced into the concept of becoming a CIT and then hopefully they become counselors. But this was not on their radar screen. They didn't know about this.
Mm-hmm.
So we introduced them to the water, but also their capabilities as a young person who can contribute to our community.
Yeah.
It's true.
And maybe just chat a little bit about leadership in general, right? Because those are skills that, are not in the curriculum in a lot of ways. You don't go to school and take a course on leadership.
Unfortunately.
These are skills that sort of we think of them as soft skills in some ways, but important all the nonetheless. They translate into other areas. It's not just being in a social situation and working with people, but it translates to other things like we were talking about just with water and swim safety.
Yeah, and conversations, by the way. Mm. So you heard the magic word about they were having conversations with their swim buddies, talking about how do you feel. I mean, that's not something you're going to text. First, you're not going to have a phone in the water. So for them to have to learn now to how to communicate to an adult who is not someone that they've known for quite long, I think was a great confident boost for these kids. And then they translated to talking to everybody else there by day 3 and 4 and 5. Mm-hmm. I can tell you from the transportation perspective, when we popped the kids in the van and were picking them up, they had to there was no radio on. Day 5, we let them play. What songs would you like to play in the car? But we're going to have conversation skills. Mm-hmm. What did you do last night? Nothing. No. We're going to talk a little bit more than nothing. Please, parents, anyone working with young people, please help them learn how to have these conversations. I have a big campaign. You mentioned the Dealey Leadership Experience, and I'm very privileged to work in terms of helping my pro bono and give back and build leadership skills and professionals of all multi-generations. That's great, but we need to also now focus on our youth. And if you read what's coming out with college graduates right now, it is perilously low. These social skills, these conversational skills right now in these new grads, trying to transition them into the workplace. So it starts with, let's get rid of the kids' table. This is a big campaign that I have. Hmm. Forget it. Why can't those kids sit at the table when you're having dinners, special dinners, whatever celebration you have, Passover, Easter, it doesn't matter. Put them at the adult table, too, so that they can be part of witnessing and experiencing conversations. Mm-hmm. Has to happen everywhere, not just in the schools. Take the headphones off. Don't go to the restaurant and everyone take out their phone. How many times do you see this? And you want to throw the red official flag and say, there's a moving violation right here, and it's all that you've got your phones on and haven't even looked at each other.
Well, and of course, they have skills built in that we don't have as a bit older generation.
Sure.
Right? that they grew up with a lot of this as natively, right? It was already there for them, and that was the world that they're born into. So as they move forward, they will have the skills necessary to work in the digital realm, right?
That's
and those
correct.
Are very, very important skills as well. It's just that you can't abandon the other things that were also important and continue to be important for those interpersonal skills, right? And here we are. We're talking about swim safety and learning to swim, water safety. You can't ignore those things, because at some point you'll find yourself in a situation where you need that.
Yes,
you do. And if you haven't got at least some of that built in, that it's going to put you potentially at risk, right?
Absolutely. Every generation needs each other. I see it in my leadership program. I have a consulting firm, Dooley & Company. I see it in our work. We all need the gifts and talents that each generation really curated. And if you're not learning from an 18 or 21-year-old, and I'm in that boomer generation, the Gen Zs are my fountain of youth, mentally, physically too, but I have to learn their world. My world is not just the world. I have to learn the millennial world.
Yeah.
And the skills that they bring. So let's take down those walls and let's have this like blending, because this mutual learning exchange has to happen.
And I'll just represent for the Gen X generation, the always forgotten generation. We're still there, folks.
Yeah, you are.
Again, we're just to remind you, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about the Stop Youth Drowning initiative here. It was a pilot program put together by some folks very important in the community, between Linda here and folks at the Gladys Allen Brigham Center, the Berkshire Family YMCA, connected with the Pittsfield Public Schools, our wonderful volunteers that helped with the program and instructed the students. Just a really great response to a tragic event that happened here in our community. And that's what we do, I guess, in the Berkshires, right? When we see a need like that, that we jump in and we do something about it. We don't just say, oh, isn't that too bad?
Yeah.
That we go back and we say, no, I think we can change that for the next time.
Yeah, I mentioned my mom, who was not a swimmer until her 60s, but my mother had a favorite expression, and it would be a cloudy day like today. And she would say, well, no, we're going to find the silver lining. Mm-hmm. She would always say that. I would never quite understand till later when I was adult how magical that was in terms of advice for me, and we found the silver lining. And talking about the success of the program, you have to have measured success. So we do an evaluation. My consulting firm, we measure everything in workforce effectiveness. I took
If you can't measure it, you can't fix it.
What gets measured also gets done. So you show me the data. And in God we trust, everybody else bring data. I used to work for GE. That's a favorite Jack Welch expression, by the way. So we asked our volunteers at the conclusion of our program, please take this evaluation, give us your experience. And we had a near 100. It was a 94% approval rating, good and excellent ratings, from their overall experience to, do you want to be part of this going forward? Was this successful for you, as well as the youth that you helped to mentor? And resoundingly, we have yes responses, good and excellent. And we needed that. We also needed to learn, what can we do better? If you're not asking what went well, we did. What didn't go well, and what can we do better based on your recommendations? We asked all those questions. So we've got a whole data report for us to go forward with, and our goal is...
Yeah, what does this look like going forward? What do you want to accomplish next on this? Yeah,
magic wand. We'd like every single middle school child in this community to know how to swim.
Wow. That is a hefty goal.
Yeah, it is.
Right?
So what?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Let's do this. We can do it, but you can't do it without a collaboration. And we need that collaboration. We need the business community to want to become sponsors. I Dooley and Company get to be a seed. Well, you know what? There's other businesses here that come help join us. We'd like to do something this summer. So the pilot was spring break, deliberately because the kids are out of school.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Summer's a long time. It's more than a week.
Yeah.
Yep. What can we do in building now more of a permanent program with mighty amazing? You used mighty. I use amazing volunteers. Who can help us, again, take children in our community who have no introduction to the water, help them build a confidence, and, yeah, let's replenish our lifeguard stock. I know when I was a YMCA kid, lifeguard was the cool, the cool position you could never get.
Yeah.
So let's make that happen again.
Right. Yeah, I never thought it would go from that, you know, where only a few people could be lifeguards, and, oh, you really want to aspire to that, too. We got to find lifeguards.
That's
we haven't
got
any lifeguards.
That's right. Yeah. Right, and they're paid, you know. So if we can build, and we will start. We actually have with our planning committee that I mentioned, we're going to be meeting next week. We're going to look through the data. Jim McGrath, the mayor, and also Joe Curtis, our superintendent, all have expressed interest in wanting to make this move into more of a permanent facet in our community. And we need that support from our community leadership as well.
If parents are looking for, potentially, if this goes forward and something happens during the summer, where will they be able to find out more details about it and get their students or their kids enrolled in it and get them involved? Where will they want to look for this?
WTVR.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly. Was that the right answer? It's 92.7 FM. Please come. So obviously, we will communicate that broadly through media here. Mm. But with the schools, we have to communicate it in the schools, just like how we started it. And also with, if we continue, and I hope we do continue this collaborative spirit with Gladys Allen Brigham Center and also the Berkshire Family Y, obviously communicating through them as well.
Yeah, good connection points there.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely, yes.
And before we go, we only have about a minute and a half left. You mentioned before the show, and I did want to get this in, that there is a National Learn to Row Day, right? Which
Yay.
Is kind of connected. It's a water sport, right? And you're a rower.
Oh, it's very connected, because if you don't know how to swim, you are not going to get in a boat.
Right? I don't know how deep that water is.
Doesn't even matter. You're just going to be very nervous. Yes, so I'm a member of Berkshire Community Rowing, and this is an annual event that we do. It's fun, it's free, and it is an introduction to the sport of rowing. It's June 7th. Register online. Please go to Berkshire Community Rowing. You'll see information about it. Register, free instruction to help you hopefully get the knowledge and the confidence to want to learn to row more permanently beyond an hour on the water. But we do this every year. Mm. We have dozens of folks that come in. It's beautiful. Anoto Lake is where our boathouse is. And
that's one of the best things about being in a little boat or a kayak or a canoe or something, is just the beauty of Berkshire County and those lakes, Anoto and Pontoosuc. We're lucky to have them here, right?
Paddleboard. These are rowing shells that we use in the sport of rowing. And again, we'll have volunteers from our... If you don't have volunteers, these things do not happen.
That's absolutely true. And true here at PCTV and WTVR as well. We're always looking for great volunteers who like radio and TV. So, if you're not comfortable in the water, maybe come here.
Oh, yeah.
Linda Dooley, Marilyn Hickey, and Rachel Seckler, thank you so much for being here. All three of you, it was great talking with you. And what a great program. I hope it continues. I hope you get some success also in the summer putting this all together.
Thank you so much. Wonderful. Thanks, everybody out there listening.
All right. Thank you, everybody. And we will be back again tomorrow here on Morning Drive. So tune in again, 7:30 tomorrow morning. Talk to you soon.